Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting at verse number 15. Text says, "You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman or like any animal on the earth or any bird that flies in the air or like any creature that moves along the ground or any fish in the waters below. And when you look up to the sky and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the heavenly array, do not be enticed into bowing down to them and worshiping things the Lord your God has appointed to all the nations under the heaven. But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace out of Egypt to be the people of his inheritance as you now are. The Lord was angry with me because of you. And he solemnly swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance. I will die in this land. I will not cross the Jordan, but you are about to cross over and take possession of that good land. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." What does it take for the Lord to get your attention? What does it take to get our attention? I would offer to say that depending on life's situation, sometimes it takes a little. And sometimes it takes a lot. Just think about it. When you were a kid and you heard the faint sound of a little melody. For us in Buffalo, and I suppose in other places, there were two of these faint sounds that would get our attention, and we would lose our minds. Do y'all remember this sound? Yeah. How many of you remember that? How many of y'all know about Mr. Softy? When we heard, I lived on a really long street, and we'd be in the backyard playing and doing our thing, playing football and doing that, and all the way down this long street, we heard that little sound, and we lost our minds. We stopped doing what we were doing, or we'd be in mid-tackle in a football game, and we'd just like suspend in air because we heard the ice cream, and we'd run in the house, and we'd go ask mom for some money so we can go get us a vanilla cone. I used to get a vanilla cone with some sprinkles on it. How many of y'all know about Mrs. Softy? How many of y'all lost y'all mind when y'all heard that musical sound in that Mr. Softy truck? So it wasn't just in Buffalo, huh? There was another faint sound, at least in our neighborhood. I don't know. My friends are here from Buffalo. I don't know that this guy made it to their street, but there was this little faint sound. It was just a whistle. It just used to go. And it was just a constant whistle. And it was this little small yellow light. And what we would see at the end of our street, again, a very long street, we see the light, we see the small little whistle, and it was this guy we used to call the Cracker Jack Man. And he would have this big little wagon, and he would just push it, and he would just walk slow, and you just hear him all the way down the street, just going, "Cracker Jacks, peanuts, hot tamales." We heard that whistle, and he always came at night. We would lose our minds. We'd go get Cracker Jacks, or we'd get some popcorn, or my dad would send me out there to go get some peanuts, and he would have these hot tamales in there. I don't know what was in the hot tamale. I knew it was saucy and it was some sort of meat, but we get those hot tamales. Those were the type of things, even though they were kind of faint sounds and they would grow louder as they got near, those were the type of things that no matter what we were doing, it got our attention. See, it depends on life situation, where things, it may take a little, it may take a lot that would get our attention. So again, I ask, what does it take for the Lord to get your attention? Just last week, many of us took time to reflect on the 9/11 tragedy of 11 years ago. Can't believe that it's been 11 years since that tragic morning. Many of us remember that the days and weeks following 9/11, church attendance grew and flourished around the country. Why? Because seemingly the tragic events of 9/11 got people's attention. There was a renewed sense of the need to connect with God and to connect with church. So for some of us, it takes a tragedy to get our attention. For some of us, it takes a blessing or an answered prayer or being rescued from a precarious situation for God to get our attention. And I'm not ashamed to say that God is absolutely 100% vying for our attention. And I don't believe that God only uses one method or one sound. I think that God sometimes uses the whisper, as he did with the prophet Elijah when he spoke in the still small voice, the quiet voice. I also think that there are times that God speaks in the spectacular and the cosmic, like when he pronounced that Jesus Christ had been born, when he made that angelic and cosmic announcement to those shepherds who were taking care of their sheep in the field. But know this, and we should be glad that the God of heavens is trying to get our attention. God knows that he has to compete for our attention. You know, unfortunately, because we have sin in the world, God is going to be in constant competition for our attention. It wasn't always this way. Remember in the garden, remember the story of Adam and Eve. Remember the text in Genesis that says this. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now in this instance, because of sin, Adam and Eve hid from God as he strolled in the garden. Have you ever imagined what pre-sin looked like in the garden? You ever wonder what happened when God would take his stroll in the garden before sin? You ever imagine Adam and Eve not hiding from God, but actually walking with God and talking with God and communing with God and laughing with God? You see, God had all of their attention. But when sin came and entered the world, it robbed humans of that experience of God having their full attention. From that point forward, man would be in constant flux as to who was going to have their attention. Now, I've shared with you on several occasions that the book of Deuteronomy is a collection of farewell addresses by Moses. These were sermons that Moses was speaking to the people. So as you read Deuteronomy, you have to imagine that this is Moses standing before the congregation of Israel, knowing that he's about to die, knowing that they're about to cross the Jordan. He knows that he's not going with them because of some things. And he's given his farewell address. He's preaching a sermon. He's warning them. He's talking to them about the God of Israel. He's talking about the opportunities that they're going to have in Jordan. He's talking about things that they need to remember as they cross over into the Jordan. He's reminding them of things not to forget as they go over into the Jordan. In this farewell address, you find many explanations as to why things are the way that they are. And regarding this state of life that is in constant flux, people, whose attention are they going to give it to? Are they going to give it to God or are they going to give it to something else? Regarding that state of mind, Moses had something to say. In the text I read earlier, Moses points to the nation's captivity in Egypt. That was a defining time for the people. They experienced the hurt and pain of oppression, then experienced the blessing and the relief of liberation as God took them out of Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 20 again. It says, "But as for you, the Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smelting furnace, out of Egypt, to be the people of God, people of his inheritance, as you now are." We see this reminder over and over throughout the Old Testament, and there are even allusions to this in the New Testament. Moses reminds the people of God. They are following, and Moses lets them know God feels when they turn to another God. Moses wants them to know that God sees and he feels when other gods gets their attention. This address here in chapter 4, this sermon, Moses is reminding the people what took place at Horeb as Moses was on the mountain and he was receiving the Ten Commandments. Y'all remember that story? While he was up there a long time, the people there got Aaron, Moses' brother, to build a golden calf, and they begin to worship and dance around the golden calf. That was a defining moment for that group because that angered God, and the fire spoke from that mountain. See, God sees when we begin to worship other gods. And in our contemporary society, we may not be building golden calves, but there are some other gods out there. There are some gods right now that are vying for our attention. There are some other gods out there that the true God is competing with to get our attention. So Moses is speaking to the people and letting them know that God sees it and it upsets them. Moses says to the people that our God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. The people would have known a lot about fire. They weren't ignorant to the presence of fire, nor the symbolism associated with fire. Moses reminds them in the portion of this speech that God had routinely spoken to them using fire. In verses 10 through 12 of Deuteronomy 4. It says, "Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children.' You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens and black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. There was only a voice." The people of Israel knew about fire by night as they traveled in the wilderness for 40 years. They were led by fire at night. Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 21. It says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in the pillar of the cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of the fire by night left its place," listen to this, "in the front of the people." I don't want you to miss that. The fire or the cloud never left its place. Where? In the front of the people. That is to say that the presence of God was always before the people. The people could always look forward and see God. Church, I don't want y'all to miss this. It's when we look back where we get in trouble. It's when we look back we get in trouble. Y'all remember the story of Lot and his family, right? Y'all remember his wife, right? She didn't get in trouble till she did what? she looked back. Church, as we move in this church and as we move in this century, as we move in this year, we need to be careful not to look back. Just having a conversation the other day, and I heard a sister in Christ in this body says, you know what, we've come a long way, and we're going a new way, and we're going a healthier way, and guess what, I hope we don't look back. Churches, when we look back is when we get in trouble. I know what we used to do, and I'm not saying that what we used to do might have been some good stuff back there. Well, there's some bad stuff back there, but guess what? We're not looking back. We're looking forward, church. It's when we look back when we start to get in trouble. I better get off of that because I might stay there for a few more moments. Do you see that God wanted their attention? And often God would use fire to get the people's attention. He used fire to get Moses' attention as he watched the burning bush and it wasn't consumed. He used fire to get the attention of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, God gave decrees and orders for the Israelites to keep a perpetual flame going on the altar in the tabernacle. And remember, he said, don't let the flame go out. It must be kept burning. Remember Gideon, who doubted God's call for him to be a judge and protector in Israel. He had Gideon prepare a meal and set it out on a rock, and God sent fire to consume that meal. It got Gideon's attention. He used fire on Mount Carmel when Elijah went up against the prophets of Baal. He answered by fire, thus claiming to be the one true God. It got the attention of the prophets and the nation. It sparked revival. When Solomon concluded his prayer of dedication for the temple, the text in 2 Chronicles this, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good, his love endures forever." Do you see that fire gets your attention? Do you see that God wanted their attention? Do you see that God wants our attention? And here's my question. Does he have your attention today? Or do the competitors have your attention? What moves you, drives you, carries you, and motivates you, excites you, and define you? Sadly, for many of us, it's not God. I mean, God is a part of it. I mean, we're here in church today, so God is a part of it. We read our Bible sometimes, don't we? I mean, God is a part of it. We pray sometimes, and we serve sometimes. I mean, God is a part of it. But I want to know, is God in your life a consuming fire? That is to say, is God the one that moves you, drives you, motivates you, excites you, and defines you? For too many of us, our careers drives us. For many of us, our desire for more stuff motivates us. For many of us, our dedication to be known and be popular defines us. Is God a consuming fire, where the competitors are left in the wind knowing they don't have a chance when it comes to God Almighty? If God is a consuming fire, where he has taken hold of our lives inside, if he has our attention, if he has our hearts, we can expect some wholesale changes, change that starts on the inside and makes its way outward, like the song we just sung earlier. If he has our attention, our consuming fire will set us ablaze and refine us and purify us. Does God have only our attention, not only our attention, but our full attention? Church, it is so easy for us to lose sight of God's attention-grabbing moments among us because we are so dedicated to our families. Wanting to provide a better life, wanting to give our families what they need and what they want. Church, there's nothing wrong with that. I am not here to demonize that. But in our efforts, we sometimes lose grip and we are consumed by it. We are consumed by career. We are consumed by money. We are consumed by the quest to obtain the American dream. You know, house, white picket fence, car, dog, 2.5 kids. But what about obtaining God's dream? You know, the place flowing from the imagination of God, where you declare, God is my everything. God is my all in all. All I really need is God. Coming right from the imagination of God, that place where we declare, when it comes to my life, when it comes to my life, God, you are a consuming fire. Fire in this instance doesn't need to cause us to conjure up the fires of hell. I am not a good fire and brimstone preacher. I have never been a fire and brimstone preacher. I have nothing against a fire and brimstone preacher. It's just not me. This morning, I don't want to scare you into this reality that flows from the imagination of God. I want to invite you to be ignited and to allow the consuming fire of God to take over. Now, trust me, it might be challenging. You see, when he takes hold of you, when he consumes you, your outlook on life changes dramatically. The way you treat people changes. The way you talk changes. The way you pray changes. The way you look at sin changes. The way you look at church changes. The way you worship changes. The way you sing praises changes. The way you treat your family changes. The way you read your Bible changes. The way you serve one another changes. Does God have your attention? I consider this sermon to be a whisper. I consider this sermon to be the Mr. Softy truck going down the road, going do 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 do. I would hate for there to be a 9/11 tragedy to happen in your life to get your attention. So I want to invite you to allow this gentle whisper. God wants your attention. Will he have it? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and verse number 29. You want a better understanding of the role that Israel or the ancient scriptures play in our lives as Christians in Jesus Christ, you need to read Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe for our God is a consuming fire. There is a passage in Matthew that oftentimes we kind of skip over when we're reading the Gospels. Matthew chapter 3 in verse number 11. It's a passage, I think last year, a couple years ago, I was preaching a sermon on the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we read this text. It's a text that many of us skip over because we just have trouble with trying to understand it. This is Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11, where John the Baptist is speaking, and he says, I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in the drama. Compared to him, I am a mere stagehand. He will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He will place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. Many of your translations, it says, the one after me is going to baptize you with fire. We have trouble understanding what that means. I don't know that it needs to be all that troubling. It's true that when we were baptized, we didn't just get wet. We were immersed in something bigger, greater, and powerful. And I would submit that it is the fire of the Holy Spirit. That we have been immersed in the Holy Spirit. When Peter preached to those people in Acts chapter 2, we'll talk a little bit about that next week. He says, be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the what? Gift of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, I tell you, is a text not just about the birth of the church, but about the age of the Holy Spirit. We have been immersed in God's consuming fire. And did you read that? I love how the Message puts it. It's not just there so I can just say, I got the Holy Spirit. Did you see what the Holy Spirit's going to do? It's going to clean us. It's going to purify us. It's going to ignite us. If you've been baptized into Christ, I want you to know that you've been set ablaze. And like we've been saying for the past few weeks, sometimes the blaze goes down. We understand that. But what are we doing to stoke those flames, to get that flame burning bright and higher again and hot and blazing? The most simple place to start is a place of confession and saying, God, you have my full attention. You have all of me, not some of me, not a part of me, not a percentage of me. Because God, if you have all of me, I can be everything that I need to be for my employer. God, if you have all of me, I can be all that I can be for my family. God, if you have all of me, I can be all that I need to be for this church. God, if you have all of me, I can be all that I need to be for this world. Let's start by being consumed by God, not consumed by careers, not consumed by money, not consumed by worry, not consumed with this world, but consumed by God. And when we are consumed by God, world, watch out. So will we be bold enough in this place? I've been saying this every week. Will we be bold enough in this place to say, God, send us revival, start a fire in this church, but let it begin with me? Let's pray. Oh, consuming fire, Lord God Jehovah, we worship you with reverence, with awe. God, we pray that you totally and completely would be our life. Father, help us to understand how to look at the world through the lenses of you being a consuming fire in our lives. Father, may we consider what it means to make you our everything. God, may we consider what it means when you have our full attention. Holy God, you are so amazing. And throughout the history of you dealing with your people, you've used fire to get our attention. God, I pray that we don't walk out of this place being afraid of fire, but that we would embrace your fire. Father, for those who have not been set ablaze yet, for those who have not yet come into contact with the blood of Jesus, I'm praying that you would make a movement in their life right now, that they would seek to be baptized in water and in the fire of Jesus. God, that you would consume them, set them ablaze. God, allow us to set this world on fire. Thank you. We thank you that the fire doesn't just cause us to set ablaze the world. We're also thankful that that fire is something that cleans us and purifies us. God, we pray that you would continue to burn the impurities in our lives. God, burn the sin that's in our lives. Burn the doubt that's in our lives. Burn the addiction that's in our lives. Burn the hate that's in our lives. Burn the things that hinder us. Oh, consuming fire, we worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this next song, All to Jesus I Surrender, if there's something that you've been holding back and you desire to give to God, there you've been keeping stuff back and you just want to say, God, I want to give you everything. If you need the church to partner with you, to pray for you, to surround you, to love you, to say we're with you, we want to give you this opportunity as we sing this song. If there's something that you need prayer about, there's a surgery you're about to have, there's a sickness that you got, if there's a loved one that you know need the people of God to call on God on their behalf, we'll do that. If you're not a Christian, you want to make a profession of Christ, you want to make a decision to turn your life around and walk towards him, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. As we sing this song, stand up, let's sing, and if you need to come, please come.